So, one very interesting quantum phenomenon, I think, is that if two quantum particles have been in contact with each other, then forever afterwards, one seems to have an influence on the other. So if one particle is spinning in one direction, then that produces a spin in the opposite direction as other particle with which it's been in contact. This is a very surprising result, but it's well replicated, and I think everyone accepts that this is so. This seems to give us a universe in which everything is much more interconnected than we normally assume. In this macro world, the world of hard objects, things seem very different from one another. I mean, there's a pulpit over there and a lectern there. There are about 10 human bodies here, and we're all very separate and different from each other. But in this quantum world, if anything has come into contact with anything else, then it remains interconnected forever. And that, I think, gives us a picture of the physical world that is much more like the way mystics have always apprehended it, which is that in this creation, everything is one, everything is interconnected with everything else. Physicists aren't going quite that far of saying everything is interconnected with everything else, but they are saying in the quantum world that once things have come into contact at all, they remain interconnected forever, always influencing each other. As John Polkinghorne says, it does release us from the tyranny of common sense, and I think it does open the way to entertaining more confidently what the mystics have always been saying about the fundamental unity of creation. So I think from a religious point of view, this is really quite a helpful development in physics. I think it's also sometimes quite helpful for people who are grieving. Sometimes when there have been two people who have been very close and one dies, the one who's left feels that they have no continuing contact with the person who's died. Though actually, of course, a lot of people do have a sense of continuing contact. But if there is continuing contact in the quantum world between even two particles that have come into contact, then I think that makes it much easier to believe that there will be continuing contact of some kind between two people who've been in close contact. So I find this phenomenon of continuing influence and contact between two quantum particles really quite interesting and encouraging. It's something that David Bohm has been quite interested in as well. Just find a place in my notes. Another interesting quantum phenomenon, I think, is about the limits to our knowledge. And again, I think this connects with mystical consciousness. It's an interesting feature of mystical experiences that they seem to have what William James called ineffability. That you feel convinced that you're understanding some deep fundamental things, really understanding them, but what you understand is ineffable. You can't kind of conceptualize what you understand. You can't put it into words. There are real limits to human conceptual understanding. Quantum physics seems to have been saying something that's at least parallel to that, with Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. So if you're studying a quantum particle, you cannot know both its position and its momentum. You can know one or the other, but it seems you just can't know both in this weird quantum world. So there are things in the quantum world that are in principle unknowable, radically unknowable. It's not just that physics hasn't got round to understanding these things yet. The uncertainty principle sort of demonstrates that you really cannot, in principle, know both the position and the momentum of a quantum particle. And if there are things in the quantum world that are radically unknowable in that sense, I think it makes sense of the ineffability that of mystical experiences, and also the religious idea that God is fundamentally beyond human understanding, that there are some things that humans cannot understand. Our ability to understand this weird quantum world seems to be pretty limited, and it's not surprising if we can't quite understand the quantum world if we also can't understand God. This quantum world also seems to be one in which dichotomies don't hold. There are so many things in the world we know, the world of common sense, the macro world, that are sort of either one thing or the other. I can point to my right, or I can point to my left with this one hand, but I can't point in both directions with the same hand at the same time. It has to be either right or left. This seems to be a sort of either-or world that we live in. But in the quantum world, it seems not to be like that. And there's a famous demonstration that I'm not going to go into in detail, partly because I don't really understand it, about Schrödinger's cat, which seems to be, in this weird quantum world, it can be both alive and dead at the same time. It's not sort of forced by the same either-or choices as our ordinary everyday world is. And I think theologically this is also quite helpful to, as I think as religious people, we don't always want to be sort of tyrannized by having to make either-or choices. The risen Jesus, for example, in some ways certainly alive, but also crucified. And Christians have never suggested that the crucifixion was simply reversed and Jesus was sort of good as new after the crucifixion and as though he'd never been crucified. And this is reflected in his continued woundedness, which has always been part of the Christian tradition, and an important part, that you can see the wounds in his hands and feet, that Jesus seems to be both still crucified but alive at the same time, in a way that is really deeply paradoxical. And maybe some of the things coming out of quantum physics about how Schrödinger's cat can be both alive and dead at the same time are helpful in this regard.
Mm-hmm.